As it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I must admit, being a parent means you have a learning curve, especially in this day and age. I'm learning a lot about video games. Now, this is foreign to me. I was not raised with video games. We did have television, but we didn't have anything like video games, so I had to get into a tutorial. I have not tried it myself because I'm totally spastic, so I'm not sure I could master it. But I've been fascinated watching these video games. You have a controller, and that controller will help you to master all sorts of situations. But the elegant thing about video games is that if your character dies, it will be reborn, And all you have to do is revert to a saved mode. And if you've saved the game at a point that you like, you can always revert to that. Wouldn't that be lovely in real life? To be able, when everything is chaotic, when you're out of control, to just press a button and you can revert to a place in your life that was a lot better. I think as we age, we like to do that. Let's go back in time to a place where things were better. Wouldn't it be lovely to be in control? I am sure the people in John the Divine's time wished that they had more control over their life and their situation. They were living during a time when the people who had witnessed the resurrection were long gone. They had died. They were the next generation of Christians. And they were not in a time when Christianity was the norm. They were not in a time when politicians would get up and claim to be Christian, because that's what everybody did. Or say that put their hand on a Bible to be inaugurated. It was not that time. It was a time of great trouble for the Christian church. And the people that John were writing to were living in Asia. They were actually living around the area that's now modern-day Turkey. And if they decided to follow Christ, it was neither a popular decision nor a safe one. And the people in that time, if they wanted to follow Christ and follow him fully, they put their lives at risk. For you see, the emperor at that time decided that in order to maintain order for everyone, the Roman Empire was not just one country, but was many countries, many languages, many cultures, many religions. So in order to keep things orderly, he said, you can worship whomever you want. Religion is free as long as, along with whatever religion, you swear full allegiance and divinity to the emperor. Now, for most, that was fine. Okay, I can have my gods and I'll just add one. But for the Christian, that was an impossibility. So many Christians had to live under the radar and try to negotiate this very difficult time, knowing that at any time, if they were pressed, they could be killed or thrown in jail. And the one writing to them is writing a letter of hope. He is not a pastor of a mega church saying, I've figured this all out, how you can have victory, how you can be successful. He's in prison. And he is living in this chaos. And he writes a letter. And I love the opening of his letter to the seven churches. He says, grace to you and peace. Now that's either a cruel irony or John was on to something. He could speak peace in the midst of a very chaotic time in the church's life when the church didn't even think that it would make the next century. Grace and peace. Peace. Why could he say that? How could he say that? Because God had given him a revelation, a vision of what the kingdom was really about. And he gave them an understanding of Jesus. He said that Jesus was the faithful witness. Now, the word witness is not the word that we think of when we think of somebody who's witnessing an event and testifying to that event. Witness meant martyr. The faithful witness was the faithful martyr. The person who had undergone the chaos of destruction, the chaos of being hauled into the Roman prison, the chaos of being falsely accused, the chaos of being executed. And he said, here is Jesus, the one who's gone before you, the one who's experienced all this chaos in his own life, who did not get rescued, who did not skip over that part. And it's the one truth that is very difficult for me and for most Christians. God does not rescue us from the chaos here in our lives. For those of you who have undergone chaos and you say, where is God? He never promised to take us out of the chaos. That's a very difficult truth, but it's real. We have chaos within our families. We have chaos in the world. God never said, I'm going to take you out of the chaos. He didn't take Jesus out of the chaos. Jesus endured the chaos. But then he says he's the firstborn of the dead. So there is the promise that those who were going to lay down their lives would have resurrection. And then he says, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, I would have found that strange in the first century to understand that Jesus was the ruler when the emperor was not only ruling my life, but could destroy my life. But now that we have 2020 hindsight, I can say that this is true because Caesar is dead, but Jesus is still living. I can say this is true because the vast Roman Empire is no more, but Jesus is still on the throne. I can say this is true because every petty dictator that has come along throughout the centuries is dead, but Jesus is still alive. And we are here today to testify, to bear witness that the words of Revelation are still true. The people in that day couldn't see it, and so John gave them a vision of the glory and the joy and the peace of Christ. And it's the same peace that speaks to our chaotic lives. We cannot control our lives. We cannot control the things that happen to us, but Jesus speaks peace in the midst of it. And he gives us the promise. He says that we, the people that of God, that God loves us, he's freed us, and he's made us to be a kingdom priest. He's given us royalty. That's awfully hard to imagine when our lives are upside down, isn't it? But it's the promise of peace and joy that we have in Christ Jesus, that God is still on the throne, that we don't have to be concerned or unhappy about the circumstances here, because God still loves us and we know who we are. We're royalty. What a wonderful promise. Sometimes peace comes in many different forms. I was privileged to be at a retreat with an African-American preacher, and I love African-American preachers because they don't have all the constraints that we white folks have. And he was really going to town. His parish was in Baltimore, Maryland. And he told about a time when there was great racial controversy and division between the African-American population and the Korean-American population. Now, he said the cultural differences were so great that it started leading to violence. And he even described a meeting. He said, I went to a meeting, and my Korean brothers and sisters were there on time, ready, on task. And he said, and I'm coming sauntering in, you know, not a care in the world. And he said, it became such that as the violence started to escalate, that the powers that be, the mayor and the people in the political realm, went to the clergy. I love it when all else fails, you turn to the clergy, you turn to the church. So they turned to the church and they said, look, you've got to do something about all this violence. So the ministers, the Korean pastors and the black pastors, got together. And he said even that was difficult because there was a language barrier, there was a cultural barrier, just a very different mindset. And they wanted to figure out, how can we get our people together? So they decided to have a unity service. And they started to advertise in their churches to come to this unity service. And they rented a big building where they could have a service where all the churches, Korean and Black, could get together. And during that, they had a combined choir, and they sang the Hallelujah Chorus. They figured that would be a good one to sing. They said it wouldn't have a problem with language. Everybody knew how to sing Hallelujah. So they had the Hallelujah Chorus up there, and as everybody stood up and the Hallelujah Chorus started, this African-American preacher said, "Those Koreans can shout." He said, "They started shouting praises." And he said, "And we can shout too." And we started to shout our praises. And he said, soon the whole assembly was shouting praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, the healing of that community started. You see, peace is not through the political process. It can help, but it's not through that. Peace is not through taking a weapon and trying to make people comply. Peace is in Christ. And that's the peace that we preach each and every Sunday. Caesar is dead, but Jesus is alive. And he can help you in the chaos of your own life. This is the peace that he promises to all who love him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the reign of Christ, even in times of political turmoil, even in times of violence, that your reign is still promised, is still here. And we look forward to that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And until that time, we ask that you would speak to the chaos of our own lives. Speak peace in times of trouble. May we know beyond a shadow of a doubt your peace, your love, your grace. And may we always live as the royalty we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 407, Name of All Majesty. Thank you.